John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for not, oh no, my phone's just sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is tie is this, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to This Week in Palestine, service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for January 19th to 25th, 2013. Israel holds its general elections, bringing more relatively centrist parties to the parliament. And in the meantime, Hamas and Fatah are close to reconciliation. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report with non-violent activities organized in the West Bank. Three protesters and journalists were injured on Friday when Israeli soldiers attacked the anti-wall and settlement protest across the West Bank. Salam Kunsiya has more.
Protests this week were reported in the villages of Bil'in, Na'lin, and Nabi Saleh in central West Bank, as well as Al-Ma'sara village in southern West Bank, in addition to Kfar Qaddoum in the north. The Israeli army used tear gas, rubber-coated steel bullets, and sound pumps to suppress the anti-war and settlement protesters. At the villages of Nabi Saleh and Al-Ma'sara, soldiers attacked protesters before even leaving their village to get to the farmlands Israel is planning to construct the wall on. Meanwhile, three protesters and a journalist were slightly injured by Israeli army rubber-coated steel bullets at the village of Bil'in. At the same time, at Na'lin village, protesters managed to reach the Israeli wall before being attacked by Israeli soldiers stationed there. At the protest in Na'lin, many protesters were treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. In Kfar Qaddoum village, Israeli troops arrested one villager during the weekly protest there. Many other protesters were also treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. Earlier in the week, Israeli soldiers invaded, on Monday at dawn, Bab al-Karama Palestinian village, installed by Palestinian activists on lands Israel tends to illegally confiscate in Beit Iksa, northwest of occupied Jerusalem, and removed all tents and structures. Palestinian activists in Bab al-Karama, Date of Dignity, stated that the soldiers removed and demolished everything the activists installed and started forcing them away from the entire area. The new Palestinian village was installed last week on privately owned Palestinian lands that belong to the residents of Beit Iksa. The lands are on the area Israel named E1, where the Netanyahu government intends to build thousands of units for Jewish settlers. For IMEMC News, this is Salam Khumsi.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas expressed willingness to meet with the new members of the Israeli cabinet despite of various comments by Palestinians on the results. IMEMC's Rami Al-Maghari with the details.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is set to meet with some Israeli members of parliament in the shadow of recent Israeli elections. The new move came within the Palestinian efforts to find out a new prospect for resolving the Palestinian-Israeli conflict based on the two-state solution admitted by the United Nations. On another note, the president noted that current political stalemate between his Fatah party and the rival Hamas party will be resolved soon, and that he is willing to do whatever possible at his disposal to make conciliation succeed. In the Gaza Strip, Hamas expressed willingness to reach an agreement with the rival Fatah party in the aftermath of recent factional meetings in the Egyptian capital of Cairo. The Hamas authorities in Gaza agreed to reopening the elections committee ahead of possible conciliation with Fatah Party of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. On the Israeli elections, Gaza-based Palestinian factions expressed quite similar responses to the elections, mainly an Israeli election is an internal Israeli affair. For IMEMC News, I am Rami Al-Maghari in Gaza.
This week, two Palestinians were killed by Israeli troops' gunfire. Moreover, the Israeli military conducted at least 50 invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank and Gaza. During these invasions, Israeli troops kidnapped at least 37 Palestinian civilians, including 5 children. IMEMC Ghassan Bannoura has the story.
On Wednesday of this week at the city of Bethlehem, Salah Al-Amarin, 15, died of wounds he sustained last week. The boy was shot by a live round in the head last Friday by Israeli soldiers. He remained in a critical condition at the local hospital in the city until he died of his injuries on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Lubna Hanesh, 21, also from Bethlehem, was shot by Israeli soldiers with live round to the head on Wednesday as well, and died of her serious injuries at the intensive care unit at a local hospital in Hebron City. Hanesh was killed when she was on her way to her university in the nearby city of Hebron when soldiers opened fire at the car she was in. On Thursday of this week, 7 Palestinians were injured during clashes between local youth and Israeli soldiers. The clashes in Bethlehem started after the funeral of Al-Hanesh and Al-Amarin. Earlier in the week, a former Palestinian political prisoner from Hebron died on Monday night at a hospital in Jerusalem after falling into a coma 50 days ago due to serious health conditions resulting from his imprisonment by Israel and the lack of medical treatment while in prison. Ashraf Abu Dhra'a, 27, spent 6 years in Al-Ramla Israeli Military Detention Center and frequently was sent to the clinic there that lacks basic supplies and specialized physicians. He was wheelchair-bound and suffered numerous health complications that were left untreated. In the Gaza Strip this week, a 2-year-old girl was wounded on Saturday when the Israeli forces stationed along the border fence in the central Gaza Strip opened fire at agricultural lands. The girl was playing in front of her family house that is 1,000 meters away from the fence. On Monday, a Palestinian boy was wounded when the Israeli forces, positioned at a watchtower northwest of Beit Lahia, opened fire at some workers who were collecting plastic materials, gravel, and firewood few meters away from the fence. Moreover, Israeli naval forces attacked Palestinian fishing boats 6 times this week. As a result, the fishermen were frightened and fled back to the shore for fear of being wounded or arrested. Neither material damage or casualties were reported. For IMEMC News, this is Ghassan Bannoura.
And that's all for today from This Week in Palestine. This was the weekly report for January 19th to 25th, 2013 from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please keep visiting our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hassan Kassis and me, George Rishmael.
Afghanistan, 23rd of January. NATO is reporting the death of a soldier of unreported nationality from an insurgent attack in an undisclosed location in eastern Afghanistan. Afghanistan, 22nd of January. Three Australian Special Forces soldiers were wounded in a shootout with Taliban insurgents. Pakistan, 23rd of January. The mutilated body of a suspected snitch was dumped in Wana, South Waziristan. Azmatullah Karadi was believed to have provided the targeting information for the U.S. drone strike that killed warlord Mullah Nazir. This is how most of the world goes about saying, "Stop snitching!" Afghanistan, 24th of January. A heavy bomb blast rocked Mazar-e-Sharif, a city whose name means Fort of War. The bomb was planted near steel barricades set up by police, wounding one officer. Afghanistan, 21st of January. Insurgents stormed the traffic police headquarters in Kabul, getting control of the building for several hours. At least three policemen and five insurgents were killed in the ensuing battle. The siege began when two bombs were detonated, one suicide bomb and one car bomb. Next, armed men stormed the building. It took Afghan forces 9 hours to take the building back, Interior Ministry spokesman Sadiq Siddiqui told the Associated Press. The fighters carried heavy machine guns and rocket-propelled grenades. They also carried hand grenades, which were thrown out the windows of the four-story building. Pakistan, 22nd of January. At least 8 people were killed and 4 more were wounded in another series of U.S. drone attacks in North Waziristan. Afghanistan, 22nd of January. Up to 15 people were killed by a U.S. drone strike in Nuristan province. Fallujah, Iraq, 25th of January. Iraqi government troops opened fire on Sunni protesters who were protesting against Shiite Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. A Reuters reporter claims troops fired into the crowd after a military vehicle was set on fire. Mr. Barack Obama, George W. Bush's attempt to stabilize Iraq was a complete failure. Afghanistan is an even more difficult place to conquer or even to govern locally from Kabul. Don't wait until 2014 to pull the plug. Bring all the troops home today. The 24th of January, John Kerry got a rude surprise during his Senate confirmation hearing as a 19-year-old intern from Code Pink stood up and shouted him down.
I know there's a lot of ground to cover.
John Kerry tried to claim afterwards that he sympathized with Code Pink's protesters, but if he really did, he wouldn't be in the running for Secretary of State because there's no way that Obama would nominate somebody for Secretary of State who opposed the drone strikes, opposed the trade deals being pushed by the U.S. Trade Representative's office, and opposed efforts by the United States to dominate all other countries.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Second inauguration of Barack Obama, unlike the first one, did not go unopposed by protesters ranging from anti-drone activists to environmentalists to anarchists. Barack Obama ran on an anti-war platform, yet he has stepped up the murderous use of armed drones in country after country. He promised to close Guantanamo Bay in early 2009. Today, not only is Guantanamo Bay still open, but new legislation allows indefinite detention even of American citizens. Action against the hypocrisy of Barack Obama's action began the night before the inauguration with a march through the streets by what a report in Anarchist News estimated at 75 anarchist protesters. During the march, unknown fighters smashed windows at a Hooters, notorious for gender discrimination and discrimination on the basis of personal appearance and hiring. A branch of TD Bank had their glass doors destroyed. I guess they live in a glass house and must have thrown one too many stones. An ATM belonging to another financial institution was also destroyed. Although the anarchist march took place in the middle of one of the most extreme security buildups you ever see inside the borders of the U.S., all of the marchers and all of the fighters escaped. On the morning of the 21st of January, as Obama was being sworn in and preparing for it, anti-war protesters gathered in Malcolm X Park under a fleet of mock Reaper drones on stands holding them in the air. At least one of the drones had been rolled all the way from Baltimore in a multi-day drone walk against Obama's drone murders in so many countries. When the protesters marched to K Street, some wrangled the drones, while others carried bundles symbolizing babies and small children killed by Obama's drone murders. One speaker at the Arc of Justice rally before the march went so far as to denounce Obama's hypocrisy in calling for gun control while using drones as his personal firearms to kill whoever he wants.
To the brother that was passionately calling for gun control, you are bringing this message from a president that with impunity is killing children in at least 8 countries with these drones, with these unjust occupations. Seriously, are we going to go beg this president for justice? Are we going to keep calling him the peace president?
No!
Crimes are crimes, no matter who does them.
When the Arc of Justice march reached K Street, the drones were put on display next to all those worn-out, up-armored Humvees from the war the National Guard was using to block off streets. Next up, the noon march from McPherson Square to the bag search and grope checkpoints near the inaugural parade route. Marchers staged a short sit-in in front of a checkpoint at 7th Street rather than let groping cops touch their junk. Start wearing kids down.
That is promises.
Checkpoint marchers proceeded to the siege walls around the parade route at 6th Street. You just heard protesters sarcastically chanting four more wars near the inauguration. From the checkpoint marchers proceeded to the siege walls around the parade route at 6th Street before suddenly disengaging to join with the Idle No More Solidarity drum circle at DuPont Circle. Idle No More is a rapidly growing First Nations Native American movement to resist Canadian attempts to take away native land on the reserves and sell it to tar sands miners and other industries for budget and development reasons. On the evening of the 21st of January, things weren't done by any means. One of the main inaugural balls was the Commander-in-Chief's ball at the Washington Convention Center. Obama was supposed to be the star of the show, but Code Pink and Vermin Supreme upstaged him, protesting drones and the U.S. security state at the bag and grope checkpoints.
Welcome to Checkpoint Obama. If you are here to attend the War Criminals Balls, please have your dental records and birth certificate ready for immediate inspection. Please be prepared to remove your shoes for public safety. Please be prepared for your full body cavity rectal exam. Remember, it is in the name of national security and will make us more free as a nation.
What do you say about the idea that, you know, Obama's executing the same foreign policy as the Bush doctrine, but, you know, it's a little more humane. It's not shock and awe.
It's actually good that Obama brought the troops from home from Iraq, but let's remember, that was negotiated by President Bush because the Iraqis forced the U.S. troops to leave. And now with Afghanistan, Obama gave us the surge in Afghanistan. We still haven't seen the end of the troops there yet. We're hoping that it's going to happen, but we can't take anything for granted. And then when it comes to Obama's promise to close Guantanamo, never did it. When it comes to his promise to stop the use of torture, well, hopefully we have stopped the use of torture, but instead we're not even taking prisoners or allowing people to surrender. We're just killing them with drones. And that is something that is the signature of the Obama administration.
That, in a nutshell, is why any war protesters descended on Obama's second inauguration after foolishly giving him a pass last time around. Environmentalists fear he will turn around and approve the earth-despoiling Keystone XL tar sands pipeline now that he no longer has to worry about re-election. He's already approved construction of the Texas segment of it. Occupy activists, anti-war activists, and environmentalist activists alike all learned the hard way that any hope and change will have to come from the streets, because it sure as hell isn't coming from a White House built on stolen indigenous land.
The roof is on fire. We don't need no water. Let the mother burn, burn, mother burn.
On the 19th of January, anarchists in Toronto burned down a partially built condominium development. Both the partially built buildings and the architectural plans were destroyed in the flames. All the fighters escaped. A communique by the Toronto Solidarity Cell then appeared on www.anarchistnews.org. According to the communique, this action was carried out both as direct action to stop gentrification in Toronto and as a solidarity action for Greek anarchists in Athens whose squatted homes were raided by Greek police. Police agencies in Greece have been largely taken over by the openly fascist Golden Dawn movement, creating a scenario similar to police departments controlled by the Ku Klux Klan during the civil rights era in some parts of the U.S.
Mother burn.
On the 15th of January, in Ontario, Canada, anarchists acting in solidarity with Idle No More blocked train traffic in both directions on a railroad main line through suburbs north of Toronto. They did so by the simple act of using copper wire to short out a signal so that the railroad control system would report to all incoming locomotives in both directions that the track had a red signal, which means trains cannot proceed. This act was retaliation for the removal by police force of an indigenous blockade near Sarnia, Ontario, by Idle No More supporters.
This black night, I ponder.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTradio@hushmail.com.